5. Lamentations chapter number 5 and Jeremiah and then Lamentations. And I'll be looking at the 5th chapter this evening, really looking at the last several verses of Lamentations chapter number 5. As you know, contextually or historically, if you were to consider the time of the writing of the book of Lamentations, you would understand that God allowed the prophet Jeremiah to not only pen the words to the book of Jeremiah, but also to this book of Lamentations. The nation of Judah had been taken captive. We understand that he had used Jeremiah, along with a number of other prophets, in order to prophesy about the impending judgment, the Babylonian captivity, because of the sin, the wickedness of God's people. And we find that Jeremiah was warning of that impending judgment. And the book of Lamentations, obviously, it's made obvious by the title of the book, it is a book of mourning. And the word lamentation or lamentations here, it means to cry aloud. And you think about lamenting. And you think about the just the destruction, utter destruction in Jerusalem and Judah because of the sin of the people and how God had raised up the Babylonians and just utter destruction and reason to cry aloud, reason to lament. And thus we read of Lamentations. And we'll look at these last few verses of Lamentations 5, and I'll make a few comments about 3 of the verses, and then we'll affix our attention on verse number 21 this evening. But notice what the Bible says. Really, the book ends with a prayer. It says this in verse 19, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." As we look at verse number 19, we find that there is recognition on the part of Jeremiah with regard to the eternality of God. "I'm thankful that our God is eternal, that thou remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation." He will never be dethroned. No one's ever going to conquer him. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am. He is eternal. And what a blessed thought in verse number 19. We find it as we get to verse number 20, that really we are gaining insight as to the condition of these that have just suffered greatly. And as Jeremiah is lamenting, he says, "Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time?" Do you remember the psalmist as he would cry out, "Lord, how long will you forget me?" And there are times, no doubt, as we deal with adversity that we can feel just as the psalmist or just as Jeremiah would reference here. We'll look at 21 in more detail, but notice in verse number 22, the Bible says, "But thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth against us." I find here that there's a recognition of God's judgment as a result of the sin of the people of God. And it's interesting, as you were to look at this last few verses of this passage of Scripture, it ends really on a negative note in verse number 22 about the judgment. And so oftentimes when the Jewish people would read the book of Lamentations out loud and they would read it as a gathering, they would repeat verse number 21 after verse number 22. And they would read it, they would conclude with verse number 22, and then again they would read verse number 21. And I think that's quite interesting to think about that perspective, and that they would do that. And it really helps us to see the impact and the importance of verse number 21. Notice it says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." If you're taking notes, I've titled the message tonight, "Turn thou us unto thee." Turn thou us unto thee. A.W. Tozer said this, "O God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully aware of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, I want to want Thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Isn't that wonderful? You see a man that is so desiring of the presence of God and so interested in having that sweet communion. We spoke of that on Sunday morning, of that communion that we can enjoy. And we find that he says, I've tasted the goodness, A.W. Tozer. And he says, it satisfied me, but it's made me thirsty for more. And when you get into the presence of God and you enjoy that presence, you say, I want more of this. I'm enjoying this, no doubt, as the psalmist said in Psalm 16. In His presence is fullness of joy. He says, I want to want Thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be more thirsty still. I wonder tonight if we would agree with A.W. Tozer and say, that's my prayer. I don't want just a little bit. I want to have my cup filled, and I want my cup to be running over, amen, with the blessings of God. As we think about this statement in verse number 21, turn thou us unto thee, and we look at the entirety of this verse, as we notice here, I believe that Jeremiah acknowledges that it was the people of God who had gone astray. God did not move. God is constant. God is always the same, right? He never changes. He says that He is immutable. We find that He says, I am the Lord, I change not, in Malachi. We find that Hebrews reminds us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, our God changes not. God did not move. But we find that the children of Israel, think about what Jeremiah says when the indictment against the nation of Judah is given, really on a number of occasions throughout the book, but you find specifically as you read the opening chapters of the book of Jeremiah, you begin to read about this forgetting of God and this forsaking of God and this following of idols. And so if you think about the nation of Judah, and you think about the people of God, the children of Israel, and how they had gone astray. They forgot their Maker. They forgot the One that had done so much for them, and they forgot Him. The question is asked of how is it that, it says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number, in Jeremiah 2 and verse number 32. And they forgot the Lord, and as a result of forgetting God, they forsook the Lord. And they were forsaking the Lord, and they followed after these idols. We understand that idolatry was a common problem for Israel, and then of course in Judah as well. And we find that many times throughout the book of Jeremiah, the Bible will use the word about return or turning to. It says this in Jeremiah 3 and verse number 12, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Notice this, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful? And the reality is that as we see this prayer that ends the book of Lamentations in this statement in verse number 21, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned, renew our days as of old. And so I believe that as we note that Jeremiah acknowledges that it was the people of God that had gone astray, and therefore he has this prayer here, and we notice, I would say, from verse 21 that really there's a twofold aspect of it. First, as we see in the title, turn thou us unto thee. But then we find that the verse ends with this statement, renew our days as of old. I believe that the thought that would be given to us here, this idea of renewing, we speak about revival, and we speak about this need for us to have revival and this revival meeting that is coming up on our calendar. And I spent time on Sunday preaching about revival and how to be prepared, how to be ready for revival, and dealing with the importance and looking at that subject on Sunday evening. Joy is withered away, and how that sin will rob us of our joy, and how we need to forsake shake and confess, and we need to have God, as David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I think about this prayer when he says, renew our days as of old. You can think back into the history of the nation of Israel when they were enjoying the blessing of God, when they were enjoying the fellowship with their Maker, when they were enjoying that fellowship that God had designed for them to have. And so I think if we could take the prayer of Jeremiah here in Lamentations 5 and verse number 21 and perhaps make some application for us this evening, we find that we are to turn unto Thee. Turn thou us unto thee. But then he says, renew our days as of old. If we can find in our minds a time in our lives in which we enjoy that sweet communion with the Lord, that sweet fellowship with God, and we say, that's what I long for, that's what I thirst for, and maybe things have gotten stale in your life, in my life, maybe the monotony of life has just kind of crept in, and we say, no, I want to have like it was in those days of old. I want you to think about what Hosea says. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Hosea. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Look over there to Hosea, if you will. And I want to just share a few verses of Scripture, and then we're going to run to the New Testament and then finish up this evening. I had planned to preach a shorter message tonight so that we could spend an extended time of prayer, and the message will still be about as short as it was going to be, maybe a few minutes longer, but you don't have to drive home, and so therefore you can spend a real extended amount of time in prayer, and so that is a blessing. But I want you to notice in Hosea chapter 5, I'm going to read four verses throughout the book of Hosea, just with this idea of turning or returning. Notice what it says in Hosea 5 and verse 15, I will go and return to my place, so they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and their affliction they will seek me early. See, the idea, remember we talked about on Sunday night about all of that affliction and all of that stuff that was happening, and how for all of this they did not turn, yet for all of this they returned not. Remember, as I mentioned in the book of Amos in the fourth chapter, after famine and drought and blight and pestilence and destruction, that God says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And so we find that the end of verse number 15 says that in their affliction they will seek me early. And really, that's the design. God is a gracious, loving God. We understand the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we find that he's trying to bring us back into that loving fellowship with him, that sweet communion with him. We find that the beginning of verse chapter number 6, look at verse number 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Aren't you thankful that we can return to the Lord? Turn thou us unto thee. Notice in chapter number 12, just a few more pages over, and look at the sixth verse. The remedy for all this turmoil that they're dealing with. The Bible says this in verse number 6 of Hosea 12, therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I mean, you just notice the remedy for all that's taken place and all the desolation and all the distress. And he says, that therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. It's interesting as you study through the book of Hosea, and I know I went over there to chapter number 12, but if you look back just for a moment to chapter number 7, and there's not really mention here about returning, except for it says that they do not return to the Lord their God, but it really is a situation where they don't even know how bad their condition is. You know, there's this thing of self-deception. The Bible says that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. The Bible says the deceitfulness of sin in the book of Hebrews. And so we notice that deceit. But notice in verse number 9, it says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. Notice this. And they do not return to the Lord their God nor seek him for all this. After the destruction, the hand of the Babylonians, as Jerusalem lay waste, we read the book of Lamentations and you read the crying aloud, you read the lamenting of Jeremiah. And as you end the book and you come to that fifth chapter and you read that plea, that petition, that prayer, you find that he says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord." And he says this, "And we shall be turned." And then he says, "Renew our days as of old." One last verse in the book of Hosea, chapter 14 and verse number 1, it says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." We find that in life, there are many things that will pull us in many different directions. We may just get off just a degree or two, but after a while of being off just a degree or two and going far enough, you find that that distance of separation has increased exponentially. And I find this need for us, even as the prophets would cry out for this turning to God. It's interesting that the first song that we sang this evening, "Draw Me Nearer," this idea of being near to God, this fellowship with God. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation as we close tonight. I want you to think about this New Testament principle in Revelation chapter number 2. The book of Revelation, these couple of chapters, chapter 2 and 3, we read, of course, of the letters to the churches in Asia, and we read about the many things that God has to say about these churches. And it's interesting that these are real churches that exist. They're real churches. And we find the first one is the church at Ephesus. And we, of course, are mindful as you read the book of Acts of being able to read through and see the time and ministry that Paul spent in Ephesus. And then you also have the privilege of reading the book of Ephesians and being able to get insight as to the instruction that was provided. And we find that the church at Ephesus is the first church that's addressed here out of these seven letters, and it says this in verse number 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Notice, he says, "I know thy works." You know, God knows everything about us. He knows everything. He's the omniscient God. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." I mean, that's commendable, is it not? They can't bear evil. They don't have any interest in corruption within the house of God, and we're going to separate, and we're going to walk and live holy. It's important. He says, "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles." You understand that in the first century they had difficulties with people coming in and these false teachers, and we still have that today. I'm thankful that we have the whole canon of Scripture. We have the whole Word of God. And as we're told in the book of 1 John, that we're to try the spirits. And we have the Scriptures that are the authority that we can use. And we can evaluate the message that the individual would live and proclaim. And we can say, no, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Or that does line up with the Word of God. And amen, so be it. But we find that it says here that they tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Commendable. "And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted." It's good to work for God, isn't it? I mean, honestly, work for the night is coming. I mean, we sing songs about working and doing our best and serving God with our talents and using our talents for His honor and for His glory. And it says that for my name's sake thou hast labored and hast not fainted. But notice the first word of verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What does it say? Because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. God didn't leave them. They were busy about the work. See, there are times in which we can be more busy about the work than being concerned about our time with God. Get so busy doing and serving and these things going on, but we forget about that precious time with our Savior. And we forget the Master to whom we serve. You remember the account of Mary and Martha? Martha's cumbered about with much serving, but Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. And we find here that the Lord, as this first letter is given to the church at Ephesus, He says, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And then it says this, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So we see the word here in verse number 5 is repent, not return, as we found there in Jeremiah, or in Lamentations and in Hosea. But no doubt they're similar in their understanding. A repentance carries with it that idea of a turning away, a turning from something to something, turning from our ways to God's ways, this change of mind which results in a change of direction. And so we see that God says to the church at Ephesus, you've left thy first love, and therefore repent. Jeremiah in Lamentations, he says, turn thou us unto thee. God didn't leave them, and God doesn't leave us. It is the people of God that go astray. My dad spent time over the summer teaching from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm so thankful that He's my shepherd. But you know, there's something about sheep. Sometimes we wander astray. We kind of see the pasture over yonder that seems to be appealing. We kind of get out of the fold, so to speak, not understanding the dangers that lurk and understanding all that is needful for our survival. And we find at times that the shepherd, physically speaking, when you think about a shepherd and his sheep physically, there are times in which a wandering sheep, if they wander enough, the shepherd sometimes will break a leg in order to prevent the continuous wandering. And there are times in our lives where God is just so gracious to bring us back into the fold. But we see that we have to turn thou us unto thee. What a prayer. What a desire on the part of Jeremiah. I hope that it would be our desire that we'd say, God, I just want you. Like we see with this quote from A.W. Tozer, I've tasted. Remember, David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. You're not going to be disappointed. But we think about this turning that Jeremiah speaks of in Lamentations, and he ends it with saying, renew our days as of old. That time of sweet fellowship and communion and blessing. That's what we desire. We desire Him, right? The communion with Him. And then as we have in the fullness of His presence, or in His presence is fullness of joy, that we have that joy, and no doubt the blessings will flow. But just a desire, a thirst for God. I want to want Thee. Man, that's powerful. This evening, we think about the church in Ephesus. Thou hast left thy first love. You're busy about doing the work. They're commended for a whole host of things. But you left your first love. Sometimes it's interesting when you think about when we first got saved. And maybe the excitement and the freshness of everything. And again, if we're not careful, the pools of life, all of the various things that would pull us in all sorts of directions, we can just, without meaning to, kind of drift away. And oh, that we'd say, Lord, I don't want to drift. I want to be in your presence. Turn thou us unto thee. Help me to draw nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, to be in the presence of God. What a blessing, what a challenge from Lamentations chapter 5. I hope this evening we'll close in prayer in just a moment. We'll go off of live stream, and I hope that you'll spend some time in prayer tonight, not only praying over those things in the prayer list and being mindful to pray one for another. And I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm thankful that God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I want to encourage you tonight, when the live stream goes off, if you would take some time, it's only 20 minutes to 8. You're normally here at least until 8:15 or 8:30 before you leave, and then you got to drive home. And I'm not suggesting that you need to spend an hour in prayer, but it wouldn't hurt you if you spent an hour in prayer. The songwriter said, the sweet hour of prayer. And someone noted that in 21st century Christianity, we have exchanged the sweet hour of prayer with just a little talk with Jesus. So I want to encourage you and challenge you tonight to spend some time in prayer as a family. If you're an individual, just by yourself, just get alone with God. Yes, pray over the items in the prayer list, but really, if you would pray specifically about this revival meeting, pray that God does a work in your heart. Maybe there's something specific that you want to pray about that God would do in your heart and your life. Pray that God would move in our midst. I mentioned as I preached a couple of Sundays ago, before you ever have revival in the church, you have revival in the home. How to have a home that honors the Lord. Before you have a revival in the home, you have revival as an individual. We want revival in our land, but it starts with the individual. And then the home, and then the church, and then, man, it just spreads. And so I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to close in prayer. And if you would spend some extended period of time in prayer, I believe the Lord of heaven will honor that. His hand is moved by the prayers of His people. Father, we love You, and we thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity to have a brief challenge from Your Word tonight with regard to this prayer, this plea of Jeremiah at the end of the book of Lamentations. I'm thankful to be reminded of the eternality of God, the holiness of God, the judgment that we see there. But I'm thankful to be reminded of the mercy and grace and loving kindness. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. He asked for renewal as of the days of old. God, I pray that You'd help us, perhaps one, perhaps many, if they would honestly evaluate their lives. They've strayed, they've wandered. We need to be drawn closer to Thee. It is good for me to draw near to Thee, O God. Return. I pray that as we engage in prayer, though we cannot all be here at the church house, as we're in our locations, our homes, wherever we are, we just spend some time seeking the face of God. And we pray that You'd be pleased, honored, and glorified. We pray that You'd work mightily in our midst so that we would stand and simply be able to declare, look what God did. We'll be careful to give You the honor and glory for all that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.